afternoon insights and analysis continue. Here's Doug Wright on KSL News Radio.
I actually feel a little guilty. I'm kind of snarking in and sneaking in on your time, Greg.
Well, you're always welcome, Doug. You're the man.
Well, I'm a big fan of yours. I really appreciate you allowing me to hang out. We've been kind of working on this today over a period of time, and it was really interesting to hear the announcement earlier this morning with Amanda and Tim here on KSL. They had John Huntsman Jr. join them. He made it official that, yes, what had been reported was confirmed this morning on KSL, and I really appreciate John Huntsman Jr. joining us again this afternoon. And welcome. Thank you so much for making the time for us.
Hey, Doug, it's a great honor and privilege to be with you, and apologies to Greg for having him bumped out for a second.
He's taking it well.
I get to watch the master at work.
Oh, listen to this. Listen to this. This morning, I listened to the interview, and it was interesting. I appreciated your comments. There are some things that I wanted to follow up on. But in subsequent conversations and sound bites that I've heard from others who are considering running for governor, one person said, I'm assuming that John Huntsman is running as a Republican, but I'm not sure. Do you want to clarify that?
Well, all somebody has to do is look at my history, Doug. It's pretty clear. I've been a Republican my entire life, and I've only run as a Republican, and that's obviously what I'm doing here. But, people are going to, play games here and there. And when somebody jumps in the race, that's just politics, and that's to be expected. But, you know, at the end of the day, we've got some pretty good candidates who are in the race already and some who are thinking about getting in. I mean, Jeff Birmingham is a great entrepreneur who's created a lot of jobs and will be a leader around here for a long time. And Amy Winter Newton is a great county council member, terrific person who I've known for a long time. And Greg Hughes, who might be getting in, you know, he's probably one of the most effective legislators we've had in recent memory. And there will be more. So, you know, there will be people in and out of the race, and that's good. What I think is important, and I hit on it this morning, was 2020 is such an important inflection point year that all voices should be part of this debate, because the decisions that are going to be made are going to impact us for so very long. As I told a group of students here at SUU just in the last hour, governors work on long-range things. They look around the bend, they anticipate what our challenges and what our needs are going to be, and they try to bring together people who can formulate policies while the governor leads out that will address those things and mitigate the risk to the state and its people. And there's risk around the corner. You can feel it, and it's brought about because of the international marketplace, because of where our own country is with respect to the political divide. So we're going to have to rely a lot more on leadership in our state to solve our own problems, to get ahead of the growth curve, which is probably the most prominent issue that we're going to face now and well into the future. And so all voices should be welcome. You know, how are we going to do this? This should be open to everybody. And I'm just honored, humbled, and delighted to be just one of those many voices.
You probably saw the op-ed piece that was written by our former Lieutenant Governor Greg Bell, who's now over the hospital association. He has a lot of experience as a legislator and then also as a mayor up in Davis County, and he listed the things that the next governor will have to deal with, and he made the point, and I thought this was absolutely perfect, that many of the problems that we are facing are basically based on our success. And at the very top of the list was clean air is how he put it. But it's interesting to have all of our, or at least most of our, future problems kind of based on the success and the good things that are happening in Utah.
Well, Greg Bell is a terrific public servant, and I've known him for a long time. He took my place as chair of Envision Utah back in the late 90s. And if you've ever read the material coming out of Envision Utah or worked with their folks, it's a remarkable movement that has brought clarity to the whole issue of growth. And as I read Greg's piece, as I did when it came out a week or so ago, I thought this comes out of somebody's mind who basically has thought about the growth issues, who understands that we have enjoyed growth, but growth has also been and will be one of our greatest challenges, because it's going to have an impact on air quality, on transportation, on quality of life, on the water resources. Everything is tied to growth. So how we proceed and how we see it and how we put down our markers and investments as the next million people arrive into the state of Utah is going to be really, really important, because these are decisions that will last for the next half century.
In your time as governor before, I was always intrigued and impressed. You know how much I love rural Utah, and I have one foot. Of course, my hometown is Salt Lake City, and this is where I spend the majority of my time along the Wasatch Front. But I also have a footprint down in Eureka, which is considered part of the rural part of the state, and honestly part of the state that is struggling. I appreciate it in times past when you drew attention to southern Utah. I can remember, and a lot of it was because the state capitol, of course, was being refurbished and seismic adjustments were being made. But you chose to have your inauguration down where you have family roots in Fillmore. Will that tradition of reaching out to rural Utah, will that continue if you were to be reelected as the governor of the great state of Utah?
Well, we talked about Eureka more than probably 10 times together, Doug.
Yeah, we have.
and you hear my stories, because we've, you know, ridden motorcycles in a good part of these rural locations, and my affection for a town that I'm a couple of generations removed from, Fillmore, a town I drove through as I was coming down to Cedar City yesterday. Yeah, what bothers me a little bit is we've fundamentally seen a disconnect between our urban and rural populations, and it breaks my heart. The people in the urban populations forget who the producers are. And the producers sometimes, you know, look at the consumers, the folks in the cities, as folks who are out of touch and don't appreciate them. And we need to do better. And this isn't just sort of something that's transpired over the last couple of years. This has been in the making a long time. We all come from small communities originally. We all carry those roots and we carry those values, and it means a lot to people in this state, even if you were born and raised in an urban environment. Because Utah is, by and large, an urban population when you look at the 10 counties of the Wasatch Front and back. Mm-hmm. But what we need to do a better job of doing is reconnecting urban and rural populations. And I think the governor's bully pulpit, I found as governor, is a great opportunity to do that. And taking the legislature down to Fillmore, which I loved, you know, was criticized by a lot of people, but I know others really, really liked it. In fact, I had one who I was talking to just a couple of days ago who was in the legislature at the time, and he said, I really appreciated what you did to recognize our rural communities by doing that. He himself coming from one of our rural communities. So we've got to do better, and it breaks my heart that we haven't done better recently, and that's something that, of course, I would continue.
In the few moments that we have left, we're talking with John Huntsman, Jr., who did confirm what had been rumors out there that he is indeed going to run for governor of the great state of Utah. But the issue of public lands, as you are well aware, in your tenure and before and certainly after, we've had a lot of issues with the public lands here in the state of Utah, and especially some of the setting aside of public lands by the executive branch of the federal government. What do you anticipate if you were again to take the governor's chair in the next several years regarding public lands?
You know, I think we need greater clarity on our public lands and how we use those lands. That, for a long time, has been a very big issue. And I think the governor can play a role. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I'd go back and meet with the Secretary of Interior and the BLM leadership, because it takes constant nurturing and constant communication so that we all kind of understand how we can best use our public lands and what multiple use actually means and how it's interpreted. There's never going to be a day when we arrive at a solution on these issues. We're just going to have to keep fighting them for as long as we can see, because they're big, they're complicated, politics are involved, and there's a lot of special interest money on both sides. And having a governor who was able to be that voice and to help bring clarity to the discussion, I think, is important. And I think we've had governors, you know, going way back who have tried their best to do that. And, of course, we'll need that as we continue going forward.
Today, as I've listened to the various comments and, honestly, some of the other candidates and even some of the commentators who said, boy, this is turning into a big field. I remember when you ran before, if my count is correct, it was 11. I know I had 9 on stage for a debate down in Nephi, Utah, and it was pretty interesting the last time you ran for governor. But one real big thing has changed in the state of Utah. you can get on the ballot through petition. And Gary Herbert, who was your lieutenant governor, has chosen and has been criticized by kind of the hardcore right-wingers of the Central Committee and, honestly, those who go to the conventions for doing so. So I'm going to ask you, do you plan on taking both routes? Last time you only had the one option. You had to win the convention or get through the convention is a better way of putting it. Are you going to try both routes as Governor Herbert has done?
Well, it's been a fractious issue, as you know, Doug, SB 54. And it's gone through the courts, and now we're kind of at the end point. But that doesn't mean we should discontinue the practice of respecting the role of delegates who work so hard at the grassroots level. I've been through the process a couple of times before. You know, people would say, well, you're not going to make it through successfully. You're this, you're that. Well, guess what? We made it through twice successfully. And the first time it took a lot in the way of grassroots strategizing, going county to county, district to district, making sure that we had new people who ran as delegate and showed up at the state convention. And this is kind of what elections are all about. You get a new generation that come in. You get a new generation of delegates who take an interest in people and in politics. And I think that's a good thing. So we plan on competing at the convention and winning the convention. We're going to work very hard to that end. And we're also taking the signature approach, which is basically what everyone is doing now. And that's kind of the standard way that that folks are approaching the gubernatorial election. I don't know anyone who isn't doing it that way.
There are so many more questions, obviously, but I so appreciate the time you've given us here at KSL earlier this morning with my dear friends Amanda and Tim. And thank you for carving out the time for us this afternoon, and we'll watch this very, very closely, and soon I hope to invite you on to the TV show on Channel 5.
We'll be there, Doug. We'll be there with you. You just tell us when and where.
And give my best to Mary Kay, won't you?
Of course.
Thank you so much.
And best to Greg.
Thank you.
There we go. John Huntsman Jr. with us here at KSL News Radio, who made it official earlier this morning with Amanda and Tim, and he said, yes, the rumors are true, and he is indeed seeking another term as governor of the state of Utah. I'm going to step out. I'm going to turn things back to the capable hands of my friend Greg. And, Greg, thank you for letting me hone in on the show today.
Thanks, Judge. Doug, it was good to see
like
you again.
Judge.
Yeah, I've been in court all morning.
I like that. All rise.
Yeah. Thank you.